Hey guys, this is Dan, and welcome to part two of the Scream Marathon Podcast. If you're listening to this first, you should probably direct yourself over to part one, where me, Jorge, and our friend Royce talk about the first three Scream movies. If you've already listened to one, then strap on in and enjoy part two. Well, there's a couple of annoying things about Scream 3 for me, which is, first of all, in the first two movies, the killer has like a voice box he's talking through. Mm-hmm. It makes them sound like a certain voice, whatever. But in Scream 3, it's like metal and he can imitate any voice from the cast. But like, how would the box know? Like, how would you even do that? Does that technology even exist? How would
it only had five buttons too? So it's like, really, you could, if you think about it, they should only be able to have like five voices.
I don't know.
That makes sense. All right, let's go through the voices that he uses. So he's got Scary Voice Man as his first voice.
Right.
Sidney is his second.
Scary Voice.
Who else is voice?
He's got Sidney's voice. He's got, well, Gail says that Dewey has our voices.
He's got Dewey's voice. That's number three.
He has Cotton's voice.
He does. That's number four.
He has Cotton's voice.
He's got
Sydney's mom's voice somehow.
Okay. Yeah. And then he's got the slut's voice as well at the very beginning of the movie, who's all about Cotton.
He has her voice?
Some random girl. Remember, it starts off and she's
God. She's like, oh, yeah.
So that's six. So already, it's just, they don't give a
fuck. That's insane. They just don't even care. Like, to justify that technology is so outlandish. Like, you were even saying, if that actually existed, like, that would be newsworthy in and of itself. Yeah. Like, fuck the killings. Voice changer device discovered
on
dead body.
The government would be hunting that shit down.
I know. That's completely ridiculous. So there was that aspect of it that I just sort of hate. And then just the moments where it just seems lazy. Like the way they integrate Randy via videotape to give you more rules that he somehow thought of giving.
Just in case.
Yeah. It just seems to be just such a stretch. All those elements. It's clearly like the original reins of like the creative side of making the first Scream movie. It's like clearly not around anymore.
To be honest, the only thing that consistently got better for me was David Arquette's performance between all three of the films.
Well, it's the best in two. I mean, it's almost like it's like a hilltop. It's like the first movie is good, and then the second movie, he just peaks.
I have one more Hollywood insider story for you. That is, one of my friends just shot a film with David Arquette, and apparently it's very low budget. And in nowhere in the script does it say that David Arquette plays any sort of musical instrument. But David Arquette decided that he was going to play the trumpet, and his character was going to be a trumpet player. So anytime that my friend saw him on set, he was outside of his trailer playing a trumpet. This is a true story. He didn't always get it right. Apparently, there's some ugly sounds coming out of there, but he was always trying. And he was very standoffish to people, because I guess his character was also standoffish. So he walked into this one scene, and he was going to use his trumpet. And he was holding the trumpet. And the director said, David, we should just drop the trumpet. I don't understand why you're holding it. And he said, okay. And he put it down, and so it was all for nothing.
We should keep you around for future podcasts that don't necessarily involve your favorite movie from high school. Mm-hmm. That we could just call you in for like a Hollywood insider report for like every time we do a marathon. We'll talk about it, whatever, and
we'll call you in
for like 5 minutes, and we'll just be like, Royce, do you know any stories regarding any of the people that were in these movies?
I've got the dirt.
And then you could sort of give us a little gossip section.
Well, I guarantee you that Mr. Arquette was practicing that walk and that limp, I'm sure, the entire time that he was on set shooting those films.
He nailed it.
Maybe he was just supposed to walk normal, and then he's just like, Wes, I was stabbed in the first movie. I think it'd be cool if I was just limping around.
I think he added it.
How did it feel watching all three of these movies in a row?
Ooh, rough. Mm. And I was not expecting it to feel rough.
You know, I thought it was pretty fine, but towards the end of the third one, I was really ready for it to be over.
Yeah.
The murder scenes definitely seemed really repetitive. If you watch horror movies in a row like that, especially slasher movies, it just gets to be like just so draining because the deaths are very repetitive. Like within the movie, they seem to vary it up a bit. But then if you're watching them all in a row, it's like you're just getting a lot of similar
scenes, especially Scream. It's like the phone call, and then it's all like kind of the same. Like the Sarah Michelle Gellar death scene in the second movie is supposed to be really similar to the Drew Barrymore death scene in the first movie. But then if you're just watching them all in one night, it's like, okay, we've kind of seen this before.
I don't know why, though, but for some reason that scene in particular really stood out to me as being well paced. And like, she really doesn't do that many stupid things in that scene. And then when she dies, it's brutal. And part of that is obviously seeing Buffy die, which is always very painful for me. But at the same time, I was impressed by it, despite when I originally saw it, thinking that it was very similar to Drew Barrymore's death.
Well, what's the other time Buffy dies? It's I Know What You Did Last Summer.
She dies and I Know What You Did Last Summer, and it's also implied that she dies at the end of The Grudge.
I think she does, because in the second one,
she's like a ghost.
She's dead. Investigates.
That's right. She is dead at the end of The Grudge.
So she doesn't have a good track record, a good non-Buffy track record in terms of surviving through these horror movies.
She either dies or gets arrested at the end of many of her films.
Well, we should talk a little bit about I Know What You Did Last Summer, because this was also written by Kevin Williamson.
Yes.
So, correct me if I'm wrong. So he writes, because you would know more than me, he writes I Know What You Did Last Summer first.
Right.
He has that movie written. Does he try to sell this screenplay?
Yes, he does.
Doesn't really happen for him.
Sony does buy it. But they do not develop
they sit on it.
But
they just sit on
because it. Believe you me, Miramax would have been first in line for that.
So he writes Scream and then gets that made.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that becomes a big success.
Oh, they fast track the shit out of I Know What You Did Last Summer.
So they're like, okay, let's whip this out. We're going to make this now. So if I can recall, there was a lawsuit. Do you know about this? I think that in terms of the poster. For I Know What You Did Last Summer.
I do not know this story.
It said from the creator of Scream, and then there was like...
Oh, is it disregarding the book?
I'm sorry, which book?
It's I Know What You Did Last Summer is based on a book.
Oh, I don't even know this. Please explain.
I read the book before seeing the film, and I knew that the film would be very different from the book, because the book has got kind of a genius twist to it. I don't know how many people out there are going to pick up a young adult thriller, so I'm sorry for spoilers. But needless to say, the killer, or the I don't know that he even kills anybody in the book. The menace ends up being like each character in it has like this weird association with a different man in it. Like one's a shopkeeper, one's a guy who's like kind of following them. It all turns out to be the same guy. But that only works in a novel, obviously. You can't have Sarah Michelle Gellar like talking to a flower shop owner and then, you know, Freddie Prinze Jr. talking to like a boxing sparring partner, and then you'll see it's the same person. You'll know, all right, well, this guy's clearly stalking all of them. But in the book, you don't know that, because you're just left to your imagination who each of these people are.
Right.
And so that's the guy who's menacing them. And it was a really genius twist.
What is the book called?
I Know What You Did Last Summer.
So it's called I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah, and so he takes the bare bones, the very beginning of that book, and just completely spins it off in a different direction.
Okay, so I've looked up this, it's not like a poster, it was for the trailer.
Okay.
So the trailer for I Know What You Did Last Summer said from the creator of Scream, and Miramax, who owned Scream, sued Columbia Pictures for false advertising, and then the phrase was removed. Because they were saying, well, it's from Kevin Williamson.
So how is he?
But
not
in the
creator?
Lawsuit, they made the argument that it's like, well, Wes Craven as the director, because the medium of film is the director is tantamount. Their argument was that Wes Craven is like the created the movie Scream, because the director is sort of like considered, you know, like the whatever. That was at least the argument they made to win the lawsuit.
Isn't that the sort of conversation that goes beyond like what can be argued in a court though? Like, isn't that like a philosophical conversation?
I think probably the argument they made was this is sort of implying that the entire team that brought you Scream, you know, Kevin Williamson, Wes Craven, the studio, from the people that, you know, from the guys that brought you.
So their argument was it should have just said from the writer of Scream instead of the
creator. Exactly. If it said from the writer of Scream, that would be fine. And so I think that's why they even do that. Like there's some trailers where they're like from the producer of Fast and the Furious. It's like, well, what? They were a producer on it?
Right.
Like, what does that even mean? Like, how does that indicate, like, is this movie going to be like Fast and the Furious? Like, I don't even know. But they do that all the time. They'll be like, from the producer of this, from that. But, you know, I was even I was looking up trying to find a poster of Teen Wolf because I wanted to buy one because I really wanted to put a poster of Teen Wolf in my room. But
even with the MTV show coming out?
I know. I heard about that, that they're going to make a TV show, a narrative TV show based on Teen Wolf, which is a terrible
idea. Werewolves are hot right now. They're hot.
It's a terrible idea. Just leave Teen Wolf alone. It's a classic. Don't even touch it.
They're red hot right
but
now.
I wanted to get the poster, but there was a poster that I found for it that said, like, because Teen Wolf came out the same year as Back to the Future, but just a few months later. And so it said, like, first he was trapped in time, now he's trapped as, like, a wolf. Like, it made reference to Back to the Future on the poster. Like, if you like – basically, like, the poster slogan was, like, if you like Back to the Future, you're going to love Michael J. Fox and Teen Wolf. But, like, they're, like, different studios. Like, if that happened now, they would, like, sue the shit out of them. Like, yeah, there's no way that they would love –
Back to the Future, though.
No, yeah,
they could probably. They would. There would be a lawsuit.
It would not happen now.
Threatened. No, they would get at least a cease and desist.
Yeah, they would not. They could. They didn't. They wouldn't advertise a movie that way. You couldn't just use the success of another movie to promote your movie. Kind of like what they were doing. And maybe that's sort of that. I Know What You Did Last Summer lawsuit. Maybe that has a lot to do with it.
I think you can. I think you could find.
Well,
examples.
Is there an example of that happening? Sort of recently.
I'm sure in a trailer they have. Mention of people. It's I mean, just I guess specific.
I think we're a very litigious society these days compared to even 20 years ago.
Well, I guess but with Avatar, are all those movies
the creator
for
of
Fox?
No, but it's James Cameron. And he did create them, so he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah. So I guess
you're not going to fuck with James Cameron,
right? It's not like they're saying like from the director of these
right.
movies,
and they
it's
said
true.
The director.
Yeah,
of
exactly.
All these. He literally
but
did
if
all
they
those
didn't
things.
Say this is Back to the Future, I think there's no. Legal.
Right. But it just sort of seems
in fact,
like
they purposely
why would they
probably did that.
But now
to get
it's more
it.
Subtle than that. Like, okay, let's say like okay, The Hangover is this huge success, right? Mm-hmm. So like Bradley Cooper was in what's that movie with Sandra Bullock that came out that was
why
got,
we
all
about
got a 0%
all about
Steve. It had a 0% of Rotten Tomatoes for so long and then finally somebody gave it a good
We're
review.
We're seeing that shit as soon as it comes out.
On DVD. We've gotta see it. But basically, like, with that movie, I remember seeing a trailer for that, like, so long before it ever came out, and they clearly were burying it. They had no intention of bringing it out. It was probably just such a turdball movie. They had nothing to do with it. Hangover comes out. It's this huge success. But then they start advertising the whole movie about Bradley Cooper. It's just like everything's Bradley Cooper. Like, it's all about, hey, Bradley Cooper's in this movie, blah, 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 blah. And then it's like they put Dr. Ken on the poster. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's just in it for, like, 2 seconds or just, like, a bit part. But now all of a sudden he's, like, peeking out on the poster, like, check it out, I'm Dr. Ken. So it's like, wait a minute, they're just trying to, like, throw Bradley Cooper and Dr. Ken in your face and saying, like, hey, if you like The Hangover, you'll like this. But they don't say that. It's not like on the poster they're going to be like, Bradley Cooper had a hangover, and now it's all about Steve. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they're not going to, like
– I mean, you could, but I think that
kind of
advertising doesn't work anymore. People just know.
You're saying that the people are just too savvy.
I think it's like it's just tastes have changed. Like
no, I think it's
before,
the opposite.
People weren't. There's not this internet culture. Everybody doesn't know who's in stuff at the time. So they're like, some people will be like, oh, who's that guy? He looks familiar. Oh yeah, there's the time thing. He's from Back to the Future.
Right. I think there's a lot of stupid people out there though who would look at like the All About Steve poster and be like, oh, he was hilarious. They're hilarious together in The Hangover. This is The Hangover 2.
I know
already.
It's interesting to me how little attention people pay to like who's directing this movie and who's written this movie and mm-hmm. who's actually bringing you this movie. Like people don't see a difference.
Well, they don't
between
think about it.
Step Brothers and Semi Pro. Like they don't understand that like when Will Ferrell makes Blades of Glory or Semi-Pro, that's different than when he makes Anchorman or Step Brothers.
Right.
It's a different experience. There's different people bringing you. It's four different people. Like, it's not, you know, they don't understand. They're like, they would walk around and be like, well, look, Step Brothers and Anchorman are so funny. I don't understand why Semi-Pro sucks. It's like, well no, I knew that Semi-Pro was going to suck because... Right. You know that it's Adam McKay making it? Like, who's directing it? Who's writing it? Like, you know what I mean? People just don't pay attention.
In their head, Will Ferrell is somehow the creator of all these.
I know, like, he's sitting there in a room going, all right, I'm going to make an ice skating movie, and then I'm going to make that. No, they just said, hey, Will, we'll give you a retarded amount of money to do this ice skating thing. And he's like, yeah, I guess I'll do it for the money. But then when he's making Step Brothers, he's sitting down in a room with Adam McKay writing the screenplay. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, you know, Blades of Glory or Semi-Pro is just clearly just a paycheck.
Right.
Or just, you know, I don't think he's like phoning it in or trying to make a bad movie, but I think he just understands that, like, oh, it's not the, but, you know, it's not going to be the same. It's not the same type of movie. So you kind of, as a moviegoer, have to be savvy enough to understand that and not go to Semi-Pro expecting it to be like Anchorman. You have to just know that they're different.
All right, I'm sorry. I just couldn't help. My eyes drifted over the IMDb page for I Know What You Did Last Summer, and I noticed that Lois Duncan, who is the writer of I Know What You Did Last Summer, has stated openly that she hates the movie.
This is the writer of the novel.
Of the novel. Because the filmmakers turned her book into a slasher film. She especially detested it in the wake of her 18-year-old daughter's murder in 1989.
Oh, my God. Wow. So the writer of this book was, they were murdered, and then now it's...
No, in the book, like, nobody died. That was the thing.
Oh.
Yeah, he's not a killer in the book. like I said, nobody died. He was just really like the guy menacing them. Yeah,
that's really.
And they turn it into Scream, you know, style splatterfest. You know, Sarah Michelle Gellar, you know, getting hooked through the neck. And
well,
shit.
You know, I mean, it was all worth it for where that series goes. And which, oh my God,
it's not worth doing a separate podcast for. I know what she's
no.
Doing
well, it's too similar to Scream, right. But just as a series. But there's also three. I Know What You Did Last Summer, which we did in a marathon all in one day.
We did do them all in one day.
Yeah, we did.
I did not.
We started with the first one, and then if you're not sort of familiar with what happens in that movie, it's, you know, these four sexy teens, you know, run over this old fisherman Joe.
Yes.
Just some guy, just some asshole guy.
The Gordon's fisherman.
They think that they killed him. So then they bury the body or they dispose of the body, and then they're like, all right, let's not talk about it. And then right. A year later, somebody's like, hey, I know what you did last summer. So they start sending them messages and creepy things. And then the whole movie's like kind of like a whodunit, kind of like a lot like Scream, where it's like, oh, is it this kid from Roseanne?
Is it Johnny Galecki?
Yeah, yes. Like who is it? Is it one of them
now,
doing
now,
it?
Now of the Big Bang Theory.
Wait, the kid from – are you talking about the kid from Jerry Maguire or –
No, Johnny Galecki.
Oh, who's the – what's the kid from Jerry
Maguire? Lipnicki.
Jonathan Lipnicki.
I don't think he was born.
I was like, no shit. Jonathan Lipnicki was a red herring and I Know What You Did Last Summer? No. Yeah, so they think that, oh, who is it? Who's it going to be? And then in this
– Wait, can I just point out the fact that Roseanne alumni have had murderous implications of Kevin Williamson's films?
That's true, because Laurie Metcalf from Roseanne is Billy Loomis's mother, the killer in Scream 2.
Yep.
And then the boyfriend of – who's the daughter with the brown hair in Roseanne? I don't remember, but she guest voiced
Sarah
Simpsons.
Something?
Something, whatever. Not the one that they replaced halfway through. The one who was just brown hair, the one that was throughout.
Yeah.
So her boyfriend is
Lorraine
the guy
was her name or something, right?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Lorraine. I think that's
it was
right.
Lorraine.
And then he gets killed. He gets hooked. Mm-hmm. That's how I'll get hooked death. So you're thinking while you're watching I Know What You Did Last Summer, what makes sense is like, okay, well, the whole thing that's scary is that they killed this guy. That's what they did wrong. So then he's out to avenge his, you know, somebody's about to avenge the death or to hold them responsible for what they did.
His daughter is played by Anne Heche.
The crazy daughter.
Yep. Or, you know, a forgotten son or something.
That's another Scream 2 overlap is the guest appearance by, I think, at that time, lesbian Anne Heche. And then in Scream 2, Portia de Rossi, the sorority girl.
Ellen runs the board.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Late
90s. The two Ellen loves.
Yeah.
Wow. You can link those together.
There's such a dichotomy with the I Know What You Did Last Summer series and the Scream series.
Okay. So in I Know What You Did Last Summer, you're like, okay, well, who did it? And then the reveal is that, oh, it's the guy they ran over, which I always had a problem with because it's like, well, then they didn't kill him. So like, what are we really punishing them for?
Well,
like,
still
then they
hit
didn't
him with
do
a fucking
it.
Car.
Yeah. But like, they didn't kill him. So it's like they don't deserve to be murdered. Like, it's, if it's an eye for an eye, it's like, well, maybe he should just injure them.
If you were hit by a car and then they buried you and were
but
like,
I like that that's his way of like doing it.
Right.
He's this old fisherman guy. Like, he's really writing little notes, and like, if he was pissed off, you'd just cut him.
No, it's probably the most excitement he's had in his life. So he's got to draw it out for all it's worth.
I guess. But so he spends the whole time writing little notes, and then they have a fight with Freddie Prinze, and then they kill him, and he's dead at the second movie. Or no, but at the end of the first movie, he appears in the mirror.
Right.
But then they explain that at the start of the second movie, so that was a dream.
Mm-hmm.
So then the second movie is Jennifer Love Hewitt's got some new friends, Mekhi Phifer, Brandy, and then this creepy guy who likes her, but she's still
Matthew,
kind of...
played by Matthew Seidel.
Right, but she's still kind of into Freddie Prinze.
Yes.
You know, she doesn't want to get with this guy. And then they go on this vacation, whatever, and then somebody's out to kill him, and then Jack Black's like a pot-smoking mm-hmm. Rasta, which is amazing.
His first memorable appearance in my memory.
Yeah. So, like, they're just sort of somebody's sort of out killing them. They're trying to get them. And then the whole thing is like, hey, I still know what you did. Right. So you're like, oh, my God. Like, who is this person?
Who still knows?
You know, who still knows? And then it sort of turns out that this guy that likes Jennifer Love Hewitt is like, oh, it's him. He's doing it. But then he turns out to be Fisherman Joe's son, who's still alive and still the killer.
Yeah.
Like, he's just the killer again. And then they kill – they shoot him.
The father,
right?
And
they,
son.
They kill the father and the son. They shoot them all. So you're like, okay, the first movie is Fisherman Joe. Second movie is just Fisherman Joe again.
However, I think we're skirting over the fact that the second movie ends with Fisherman Joe dragging Jennifer Love Hewitt underneath the bed.
That's right. Which is
and it's never really explained.
But it's just sort of like the first movie where it's just like, we just want to end on a boo scare. We're right. Not really that committed and really explaining what's going on. So yeah. You're just like, whatever. Maybe it's a dream. Whatever. So the third movie, I'll always know what you did last summer. Mm-hmm. Is a straight to DVD situation, and it's like a bunch of kids, I think they're aware of Fisherman Joe.
It's a legend by
yeah
that point.
It's like, oh, this happened a
it's
couple
an urban
ago.
Legend not to muddy the discussion further
with the movie Urban Legends, right. But no, it's Fisherman Joe has kind of become this cautionary tale, which is sort of what he was based on anyway, the whole Hook story.
Yes,
whatever. So it's like he becomes a story where it's like, oh, they killed him, and then they tried to cover it up, and then he pays for them. So then it's like their friends. I kind of can't remember. It was
somebody
several years
dies
ago.
In a prank. Gone
no,
wrong.
But yeah, it's like he gets murdered, but like he gets murdered like brutally, like accidentally. Like he dies, and it's like Final Destination style. Like he gets ripped apart.
Something
like,
involving a
dismembered.
Ferris wheel, right?
Yeah, he gets like dismembered. Yeah. So you're thinking like, okay, people are sending them notes, and they're like, hey, I know what you did. And then it's like, well, wait.
It's not the friend.
It can't be the friend because they kind of already did that in the first movie. And then, like,
and he's really dead.
And he got fucking cut up. Like, he's dead. He's not coming back. So you and my brother who are watching it are just trying to play detective the whole time and be like, all right, well, it's the cop. Or no, it's the boyfriend. And you're like trying to figure out who it is. But then everybody just kept getting killed who we thought was it. And so we're just like, okay, well, we'll figure it out. And then halfway through the movie, I'm like, well, you know, the first movie is Fisherman Joe. The second movie is Fisherman Joe. It's just fucking going to be Fisherman Joe. And you guys were like, no, it can't be Fisherman Joe because
he has nothing to do with the movie.
It's a different town. They were landlocked. Were they like Montana or some shit? Like,
it's
there's
an entirely
no boat.
Different place. Yeah.
There's no fishermen. There's no nothing. Like, why would it be
well,
him?
Montana by way of Vancouver, Canada, of course.
I know. So then it's like, okay, well, who's it going to be? And then everybody got killed. I think like the old sheriff was like the last one who were like, okay, maybe it's this guy. And then he gets hooked. And then we're just all sitting there going like, what
the fuck?
And then there's the big reveal. And not only is it actually just Fisherman Joe again, but it's zombie Fisherman Joe who has red eyes and I shit you not can teleport.
Teleports.
So it takes this jump to the supernatural. It's just fucking insane. I just love that I was right. I just called it from the beginning.
You did. I'll give you credit.
Oh, so
I'll
funny.
Give you credit. Well, I will more than give you credit for that.
So Kevin Williamson has brought us Scream, I Know What You Did Last Summer, Dawson's Creek, and then now he's going to make another trilogy.
Not just Scream 4, but he said that he would never, you know, rupture the sanctity of the first Scream trilogy, which of course is just, as we discussed, so perfectly laid out from beginning to end, unless he had an idea for something big. And so it's going to be a trilogy.
So what do we know about these new movies?
I don't know what he's going to do for it. Like, what could he possibly do with it?
I don't know. It just seems like sort of like this last grasp at relevancy. Like, oh, okay, well, let's just do three more Scream movies.
However, after the first Scream film, there was a fan-made sequel to Scream, which few people know about.
What?
But I ordered it, and I have the VHS copy of it.
Wait a minute. So there's a fan-made Scream sequel?
Yes. It is called...
you bought.
I bought it. It's called Scream Louder.
Jorge, you're just speechless.
I'm just like,
you have to. You can't.
I just need to lay down for a second. You,
the microphone is so far away from you.
Yeah.
It's called Scream Louder, and it's by the same people who also made a custom-made Halloween sequel.
Oh my god!
I Google Scream Louder, and I guarantee it'll probably still come up.
Scream Louder. Fan film, maybe? Yes. If I Google that.
There you go.
First 40 minutes, Horror Film Magazine. Oh my god.
Oh, see?
Oh god. My god. Well, you know, I will say this, it is in 16:9 format.
Or in Terror Vision.
But clearly they had a crack DP working for them.
It's very VHS. Okay, so we've got a girl typing on a laptop.
I believe that's Sydney Prescott.
It looks in a dorm room. Oh, so she's playing the Neve Campbell character.
Yes.
Okay, and then...
And they're actually playing the freshman.
By
the Verve Pipe, because she is a college freshman.
So they don't have the rights to that, I can assume. So you bought this?
I bought this.
So how much money did you pay for this?
I don't know, because I put it on my parents' credit card.
Did you watch the whole thing?
Yes, but I haven't watched it since. It was really bad.
You know what? The only thing that this makes me think of is my brother bought a movie called The Remake, which is a horror movie made by just some guy, just independently. Like, it's not even like an indie movie. It's like some guy with like a digital camcorder, just being like, hey, got a bunch of friends and made a movie. But the plot was enough that my brother, like, he wasn't even selling it. My brother had to email him and just be like, hey, you know, like, can you sell me this movie? Hold on, the Scream Louder.
Marco Beltrami's score is invading our conversation.
All right, hold on. Let me pause Scream Louder for a second. No, this movie is called The Remake, and the plot is basically about this guy who's super pissed off that they're remaking his favorite horror movie, so he decided to kill everyone making it, which is an amazing idea for a movie, but it's just made by just some guy, and the movie
Did he copyright that idea?
I don't know.
Can we steal it?
We should. It's terrible. Like, it's so terribly made, but the first scene is hilarious. It's the guy, like, finishing the screenplay, and he's in the room just being like, and that's the end. He's like, oh, another great movie. And then this guy runs in to kill him, but he doesn't even say, like, you're ruining my movie, or tip his hand as to why he's killing him. He just comes in and kills him, but the guy immediately, like, knows why. He's like, it's just a movie, man. Like, don't kill me.
Fair enough.
It's, like, amazing. So if you Google, like, just Google, like, The Remake, like, maybe horror, like, remake horror movie, if you want to just, and you can contact this guy, or maybe watch clips online or something. Like, it's definitely worth checking out just because the idea is so amazing, but it has the same, like, homemade feel that this Scream Louder does.
I don't know. I'm looking at some production values right now. It's a little bit higher quality than I remembered.
I just want to see if we can get to a death.
Some ghost face action? Gail Weathers.
Now,
you don't recognize Gail Weathers?
I did not recognize. Not this Gail Weathers.
You don't recognize Gail Weathers as a fat blonde chick?
So did this come out before Scream 2?
Yes, it did.
Oh.
The question is, what was the superior film?
Well, so far I'm sort of scanning through it and I'm not seeing any kills.
We're only in the first 7 minutes of the film.
I'm going to begrudgingly say that Scream 2 is better. Then Scream Louder.
Hey, well,
we should have integrated this into the marathon. I mean, how dare you not bring this to the table?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I kept it in my back pocket. I wasn't even thinking about it.
Well, if anybody tries to recreate any of the marathons that we do, try to get a copy of Scream Louder on VHS.
You can find the first 40 minutes at horrorfilmmagazine.com. I don't know what happened to the final 30 minutes of it, but
it's lost
apparently
forever.
You can only find the first 40 minutes.
It was leaked online, so they had to change it.
They had to change it, and they're still in the process of changing it.
I think we're losing Jorge. Those of you don't know, Jorge has a flight to go to Canada tomorrow. What time does it leave?
10 in the morning. And it's now...
It's 4:30.
4:30 in the morning.
In the morning. So he's got to get on a plane in like 6 hours.
Yeah.
So it's not looking good. Not looking like a good day
not
for
looking,
Warren. You've checked out the whole back half of this podcast.
Yeah.
It's fair.
So I might have to find somebody to fill in for a marathon, but just for whatever we do next. But we probably should just let you get some sleep for your flight. But
yeah.
Well, we watched Scream, Scream 2, and Scream 3 all in a row. And I want to thank our guest Royce for stopping by. And we'll stay tuned next time for With or Without Jorge. And we will see you then for another movie marathon.